As I said, this is a very joyous occasion for me as a pastor. And one of the reasons is because very seldom do I preach pointed messages. But a deacon ordination is a pointed message opportunity. Brother Lance, I'm aiming at you tonight. All right? But if you gain something from the message, and I pray that you do, it is for everyone here. And we're going to look at deacons. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3. Let's once again stand as we read from the Word of God. Got to get you exercise and the blood flowing once again. 1 Timothy 3, verse 8. Likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. But let these also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husband of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Our Father in heaven, bless us with understanding in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. All right? All right. Now we begin. And first thing that catches our eye in the text that we just read is two words. The first word, likewise, the first word in verse 8, that likewise is in there for a reason. It means in the same manner. And Brother Lance, what it's talking about is you be like what was written just previous about pastors. You have the same qualification or the same characteristics that a pastor should have. Okay? And so as it says, likewise, then deacons, that second word, that word literally means servant. It means helper. It's not a deacon's job to run the church. It's not a deacon's job to keep the pastor in line or straighten out the church staff or straighten out church members. It's the deacon's job to help the church. And that's their calling. Somebody will eventually come to you, Brother Lance, and introduce to you the idea that it's your job to straighten somebody out. Don't listen to them. Don't do it. It's not. That's not the deacon's calling. The deacon's call is to help, to serve. And I would take just a moment at this point and say, once again, I love our deacons at Victory. I expect an amen on that one. Okay? I love our deacons at Victory. Amen. All right. Absolutely. They're good men. They're very supportive of the pastor. They're very supportive of the church staff. They're very supportive of the church. And they indeed are here to help. I found that there's nothing too small for our deacons and there's nothing too large for our deacons, but what they will try to help. And what we're going to do tonight is we're going to take just a very few moments and we're going to run through the character of a deacon. In your Bible, you'll see qualifications in the heading. I don't really like that because qualifications mean if you stumble, you're done, right? And Brother Lance, I think one of the other guys pointed out, you won't be perfect. None of us are. But here's what you strive for in character. First, that you be reverent. That word reverent means to be respectable. A person of good character. And I want you to understand from the very beginning, respect is not given. Respect is earned. And it takes time to earn respect. When we gave you the deacon ordination certificate, that will not earn you any respect. What will earn you respect is years of faithful service to your God and to the church of Victory Missionary Baptist Church. And you understand that as you serve, people are watching. Aren't you, Victory? Amen. Yes. People are watching. You see, they're expecting you to set the example for everyone else to follow. You, me, our deacons, and every staff member, we're setting an example for people to follow. And when we do well setting that example, That's when the respect comes. Also, don't be double-tongued as a deacon. That word double-tongued, it means insincere, hypocritical. It means say what you mean and mean what you say. One thing you are not as a politician, or as a deacon, you are not a politician. Okay? You're not here to tell people what they want to hear. You're not here to say things that people want to hear you say. There will be times you disagree with people. That's okay. In those times when you disagree, it's okay to say, "Brother, I don't agree." As a matter of fact, it's better to say, "Brother, I love you, but I don't agree." There will be times when you have to take a stand. A stand that you know is right. A stand that you know that God will have you to take. And it may cause others to look at you and say, "Oh, Brother Lance, I disagree with you." That's okay. And I've made this comment several times. You won't set any two of us down and for more than 30 minutes and we'll find something to disagree on, right? But the good part of being brethren in Christ is you can disagree and still love one another and move forward. Don't be double-tongued. Not given to much wine. That's a big one in today's world. You see, where I grew up, they preached that drinking was wrong. And brother, that's kind of instilled deeply in me. I do not drink alcohol. And the reason I don't is because people are watching. I do know that in the Bible, there's no command given to Christians, "Thou shalt not drink alcohol." But I do know that warnings are repeated in the Bible about alcohol. So, brother, let me help you. Stay away from it. Don't do it. Okay? Because, number one, people are watching and you're setting an example. And when you do it, it puts the stamp of approval for them to do it. And number two, what good can it do you? It can tear you down. It can destroy your family. They show on TV, you know, the slogans such as, "It don't get any better than this." Adrian Rogers says, "That's right, it doesn't get any better than this, it gets worse." Don't fall into that trap. As a deacon, as a man of God, you make sure the things that are in your life are encouraging to others. Not given to much wine, not greedy. The King James says, I think, filthy lucre. The idea there is your business practice. You see, not only are you a deacon at Victory Baptist Church, you're a deacon of Victory Baptist Church when you go outside these walls. And it's your job in your business practice to be honest and to be well looked upon as a man of honesty in business. Not greedy. I mean, there are plenty of people who will do anything for a dollar. Money's not worth that. You let the world see the Savior that you love, not the money that many people are after. Holding the mystery of faith with a pure conscience. You have to live with yourself. As a pastor, I have to live with myself. As a deacon, you're going to have to live with yourself. The things that you do. And you're going to not only have to live with yourself, you're going to one day stand before God accountable for the example that you have set, that we all have set. And when that day comes, we all desire to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You make sure that the life you live is that kind of life. Paul said, "Test them. Let them be tested." You have already been examined. That's why, and I'll go to the church for just a moment. And, you know, you may give names to our deacons as people that you think would be good candidates for deacons, and you may think, well, why didn't they act, or why haven't they acted? They have. These guys are good at what they do. Okay? They don't just jump. They look at these deacon candidates. They consider the life they live and the example that they set. And I want to say I appreciate that about our deacons. Because I want to tell you, Victory doesn't need a deacon that will not set a godly example. Lance, you have been examined. And we appreciate the life, the stand that you have taken and will take in the future. You continue knowing that you are still being watched. Not by the deacon body now, but by everybody. Then finally, Lance, you got to be a family man. This says, I believe it's verse 12. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children in their own houses well. The husband of one wife, and, you know, people can argue about that all the, and say, oh, it means they can't be divorced, and that's a whole different ball game. What it literally says is a one woman man. What the command is here, Lance, you got to be a good husband. You got to love that young lady sitting beside you with all your heart. That's what the Bible says, that husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. You love her because you can serve, you know, your service to Victory Baptist Church starts at home. You make her the love and the only love of your life. And I know you already have, okay? But you continue to do that. That's a requirement of a deacon. Love her with all your heart. And not just her, but be a good dad. Okay? Be a good father. Raise your children in church. And I know you're already doing that. Let me commend you because I see you here all the time. Keep it up, brother. It is important that they be here. And there may come a time when they say, I don't want to come. You be the dad and say, you are coming. Okay? You see, that's what godly men do. You be a good man, loving your wife and being an example to your children. And then we go on. You see, the characteristics didn't stop with the deacon. They moved on to the deacon's wife. Now, man, I'm not going to ask you to do anything, okay? So relax. But I do want to cover this. Because I have discovered something in ministry. A man's wife can make or break him. Okay? And this is put in there for a reason. He said in verse 11, likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Amanda, you've got to be reverent. Now, we go back to what that means, worthy of respect. You have to be a lady that others can look at and say, there's a godly woman. There's a good wife. There's a good mother. There's a lady who loves the Lord. And as I said, we may trip and stumble every once in a while. None of us are perfect. But we've got to have these goals. Not only are you to be worthy of respect, you can't be a slanderer. That word slanderer, the Greek word is diablos. It literally means devil. So the Bible's saying don't be a devil. For a deacon's wife, what that word devil means is an accuser, a slanderer. And what it's talking about malicious gossip. Now I want to share something with you, Amanda, and all of our deacon's wives. As deacon's wives, you're going to learn things about church members you don't want to know. When you learn those things about church members that you don't want to know, don't tell anybody. Do not tell anybody. You see, one of the greatest things that you can do is learn to be quiet. Yes, you may hear that they're doing something that they shouldn't do, keep it to you. Okay? Don't run around and spread anything about anybody in the church. And I know you won't. And not only that, there will be times when Lance will not be able to share with you everything he knows. It's not because he doesn't love you. It's because he has been entrusted with things that he is committed not to share with anyone. Understand, Lance, there are times you can't tell anybody. All right? And you say, Brother Doug, there are times you don't tell your wife. Absolutely. She knows that. And if I commit to someone and say, this is between us, it will stay between us. Okay? So don't expect Lance to share everything all the time, because there will be times he can't share. But those things that you do know, you be sure that you don't spread. Then finally, your reward. Those who serve well, for those who have served well as deacons have obtained for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Here's what's going to happen, Lance. I said respect is earned in the beginning. After you serve, through time, the example that you set, what's going to happen is people are going to respect you more and more and more and more with each passing year. And you're going to be honored among the brethren. You see, that's what a good standing in the faith means. And it goes even beyond that, because when it says, use the term here, have obtained to themselves good standing and great boldness. That word great boldness is confidence. It's not your confidence, it's the people's confidence. What you're going to do as you gain the respect of the people, you're going to gain their confidence. And they're going to start to listen to what Lance says more and more and more and more. I said in the beginning, it's not the deacon's job to run the church, but I'll tell you what, you will not serve well as a deacon and not be a leader in the church. Because people will respect you. And this great boldness, that means they will grow in confidence with you. We have deacons in this church, and I love all our deacons. I really do. And they're good men. But we have deacons in this church that when they speak, this church listens. And it's not a power trip. It's not. It is. These deacons have been deacons for years and years. And this church has seen them for years and years faithfully serve the Lord and sacrifice things of themselves for the good of the church. And so now when they speak, the church just automatically perks up. That's a good thing. I'll be honest with you. When those same deacons speak, guess what this pastor does? I listen. Because they've been here longer than I have. And there are men I have learned through the last 8 years that I can trust, and men who are not in it for their own benefit, they're in it for the glory of God and for the good of the church. That's where you're headed, Lance. You're off to a great start. Brother, you be faithful. You make God the center of your service. Not people, but God. You be faithful to Him, and I promise you, He'll be faithful to you. Let's stand. Lance, on behalf of Victory Baptist Church, and I speak for the deacons, I think I can speak for the deacons also. Brother, we welcome you as a deacon. Amanda, we welcome you as a deacon's wife. And we're so thankful for every one of y'all.